Behold, I come like a thief. Blessed is he who stays awake and keeps his clothes open, so that he may not go naked and be shamefully exposed. Lots of this verse. Behold, I come like a thief. Why would Jesus portray himself as coming like a thief? Behold, I come like a thief. Malachi 3:1-2. See, I will send my messenger who will prepare the way before me. Stop. That's John the Baptist. In Mark chapter 1, I have it on the screen. I just want you to know that this has already been fulfilled. This is not going to be the set to be fulfilled. In Mark chapter 1, that's what it says about John the Baptist. Mark 1, verse 2. It is written in Isaiah the prophet, I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way. That is Malachi chapter 3, verse 1. That John the Baptist preparing the way for Christ in that text. Then suddenly the Lord you are seeking will come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant whom you desire will come, says the Lord Almighty. That's Christ. But who can endure the day of his coming? That's the first coming. Don't mistake that. That's the first coming. It's not the second coming. Who? Now you really get it, really haven't. Wow, how could that be the second coming? But who can endure the day of his coming? Who can stand when he appears? For he will be like a refiner's fire and a launderer's soap. Many people will sometimes say this is the second coming. There's a first, second, but this is the first coming. Why I'm saying it's the first coming, because there is a place in the scriptures where you do see Jesus when he comes into the temple, and he lets her fly. Behold, I come like a thief. First coming. Nobody expected him to come that way. Nobody. Everybody thought he was going to come as a king. He came as a thief. Everybody thought he was going to reveal himself to powerful people, shepherds. Like a thief, the first time. But this is where you get that, a refiner's fire. You fire in his eyes, purifying the temple. After this, he went to Capernaum with his mother and brothers and his disciples. There they stayed for a few days. When it was almost time for the Jewish Passover, Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple courts, he found men selling cattle, sheep, and doves, and others sitting at tables exchanging money. Can you picture this? This is God. So he made a whip out of cords and drove all from this temple area, both sheep and cattle. He scattered the coins of the money changers and overturned the tables. To those who sold doves, he said, "Get out of here." You can picture his voice. Be frightened, having God talk with us. Finding the temple. Finding it. Purifying the temple. Get these out of here. How dare you turn my father's house into a market? Yet his disciples remembered that it is written, zeal for your house will consume you. That's the first coming. And in the same way, at his second coming, he'll suddenly appear again. How? Nobody. Do we know? Behold, I come like a thief. Second coming. Therefore, this is Christ. Therefore, keep watch. I'm not doing fear tactics or anything. I'm just reading the Bible of Christ. Therefore, keep watch. Because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. That's what he's calling you. Not that he isn't. thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not have left his house to be broken into. So you also, who's he talking to? The church. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect it. You don't expect when a thief breaks into your home. And that's what he's saying. You're not going to know when I'm coming. Be ready. Everybody be ready. Should it scare us? Should it put fear? No. If you're born again, it's the greatest motivation to meet with the Lord. But if you're born again, the second coming, not preached very much, should be preached all the time, once a month. We're coming to the end. We're moving to the end. Who believes that? We're moving to the end. Slowly everything is eroding. And Jesus is coming for the believer. Again. Behold, I come like a thief. Now, brothers, this is the Apostle Paul, 1 Thessalonians 5:1-9. I want to encourage you. I want you to be afraid. I want you to come close to the Lord now. Come real close. He'll protect. Now, brothers, about times and dates, we do not need to write to you. For you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying peace and safety, it's going to come. Everybody, everything is going to get right for 3.5 years. I don't know when it's going to happen. I don't know when the clock's going to tick, but it's going to come right. Everybody, even Christians, are going to freak out. Lots of money. And this is what they're going to be saying. While people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come on them. What is it? And what did it say in Malachi 3:1? Suddenly he entered. Suddenly, as labor pains on a pregnant woman, I guess who's been pregnant, you know what that's like. Pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you, brothers, sisters, are not in darkness, so that this day should surprise you like a thief. You are all sons of the light, sons of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness. So then, let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be alert and self-controlled. For those who sleep, sleep at night. And those who get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be, this is how you live in the light of the second coming. This is it. Let us be self-controlled. Putting on what? Faith. And love as a breastplate. Armor. You say it quite a bit, Colin, to me. Armor. We're in a war. Put the armor on. Putting it on. And the hope of salvation as a helmet. For here it is. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He's going to take the whole church to himself. This is a great motivation to meet with the Lord. You know why? Because if you're meeting with the Lord closely, hear this, when he comes a second time, you're just going to walk right into it. But if you're not meeting with the Lord, it's going to be an awful joke. Is everybody hearing me? It's going to be an awful joke. Doesn't mean you're not going to be saved, because he's going to save you. But it's better to go in rejoicing. I knew it! I knew it! Because I met him. This is going to get so heavy. The end of the days is going to be wild. And it's going to be people who really meet with the Lord that will hear his voice and will know what is a lie and what is not. Because there's somebody coming on the stage that is going to be very good. Clear-minded and self-controlled so that you can pray. We need to be clear-minded so we can pray. Meet with the Lord. Christ to be ready. But isn't it amazing, eh? Tell me something, we would be freaked out. Jesus is ready to go up to the heavens now. He's ready to go. And what question would you ask him before he goes up? What would you ask him? You know what they asked him? The apostles. Acts chapter 1, 6 to 11. So when they met together, they asked him, here's the question. Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? Because they thought this guy was, the Lord was going to be a conquering king. And he is. But not this time. The second coming, he takes over. This time, he dies for us. But they got it confused. They didn't do it now. Are you? He said to them, it's not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. But you, and it's amazing what how he gives the answer to them. He doesn't say, he doesn't tell them. This is what he said. I'm going to give you a quick. Live this life now like me. You're going to be able to live like me. I'm going to give you something that's so important. You know what? The more I see my life going forward with Jesus, the more I see how important the Holy Spirit is. Not charismatic or not Pentecostal, just bringing me that Holy Spirit to make me like Jesus. To pray. Do you know when Josh came up and he was, I just want you to take this to the Lord. But I'm trying to listen to God like you wouldn't believe now. But do you know when you came up and you did that and you did this? What you did and you came up, that was the Spirit of Almighty God. And we need to start to really get onto this and stop acting in the flesh. All of us. And we need to depend on the Holy Spirit. Because when he walked up, he set everything in play. And then the whole church jumped in. Amen? Everybody. And if I went to everybody now, I'd say, am I right what I'm saying? Everybody would go, amen. Because the Spirit of God is operating. And that's what we want in a church. Not, like you said, one person. We want the whole church jumping in and doing this with the Spirit of God. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. What does that mean? You will receive power. Are you living that type of power? Today you noticed it through him, and then it started. Power of the Spirit of God. Too many signs that you see where the Holy Spirit takes control of our whole church. That's what you want. You want to pray like that. You want the Spirit of God. You don't want flesh. As soon as flesh comes, as soon as the whole church, you go, woo! It stinks! It stinks.
We should all hold our noses when we see flesh. Hold your nose! It's flesh!
I'm not joking with you here. Nobody can pray up here in the flesh and reach God. We need to stop this. Nobody. All of us need to really, and there needs to become, you can't conjure this up. It's a desperation that comes from God. To want the Spirit of God. That's how it motivates you. That's how it motivates you. But you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And then you'll be what? My what? Witnesses. Hey, I want to tell you something. I've got to tell you a little story. Okay, listen to this. You know my friend Omar? My friend Omar says, I have a girlfriend, but she keeps backed up. Out and in, out and in. You know, you have that kind of girlfriend. I said, really? You have a girlfriend, eh? Hey, Omar. He said, yeah, this Thursday, we're going to have a Bible study, and I'm in Hebrews 10 with him now. I'm in Hebrews 10 now. You should see this guy. I'm going to say, he'll be here, but he's got to work 7 days a week. And his father forces himself. That's another problem. So I'm just letting you go, but he's rocking. He's fasting now. I didn't tell him to fast. So he says, on Thursday, his father's coming. He knows he can't have the Bible around. His father's a hardcore Muslim. So he said, he's just waiting for his turn to really let it fly. I'm just, going along, no problem. And I'm having the Bible study. His house first, because his father's in Niagara Falls. So they have two businesses, and he takes care of one. So I'm going to his house on Thursday. But this Thursday, he said, no, but my father's coming, so I don't want him to get caught. I said, okay, no problem. But then he says, Friday, but you wouldn't believe it, because
wanted his girlfriend to come. And I said, sure, bring her along, no problem.
So I wish you would have been there, honestly, truthfully. I get so much joy bringing people to Jesus Christ. I get really high. I get really hot. Super hot. It's like, I can't explain it. I couldn't sleep when I came home. It was about 12:30 at night. I'm having a Bible study at 9 o'clock at night with this guy because he gets off work. Brings a girl. Her name is Pam. Pray for Pam. Okay? Because Pam, she goes, and she's nervous because, you know, I'm a reverend. Well, who cares? Everybody knows me. Reverend. This doesn't mean anything. People got to get to know me. So I walked in. I didn't tell this girl. I'm really nervous. And Omar's there. And then we started into it. And all of a sudden, the Lord starts giving me words. Holy Spirit starts giving me the power of witness. Like when you witness in the power of the Spirit, there's nothing like it. It's like you knock everything down in your mind. I know what it's the Spirit because it's my gift. And all of a sudden, it starts coming in. And this, she's gone. And I go, listen, God has been looking for you. He's been wanting you.
What?
I says, for 40 years has God been knocking on the door of your heart? I said, you know what you've been like?
I believe in God. I believe in God.
I said, yeah, I know you believe in God. I said, this is what you're like. There's a big door, and outside God's knocking on your heart, and you're going, I believe you're up there. Omar says in the morning, she's changed. Born again. You gotta try it. It's fun. Because you know it's not you. It's the power of the Spirit. And when you see something like that, you say, God's alive. God's alive. It just heightens my faith. And I'm trying to go out there and I just got seconds left. Get in the boat. Get in the boat. Get in my boat, man. Get in. Titanic sea. Get in. You guys got a boat too. But you receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And when you just came up here, that power came on you. I'm not joking. I don't know why he does it and when he does it. I don't understand God. But I know when you rely on God in your heart, he honors that. He honors everybody who relies on him. And then he comes on you with power. And there's nothing like working with the Holy Spirit. There's a rush of doing really. Now this lady this morning, when's the next Bobsa? And I'm going to have another one on Thursday. But, you know, I just got to be really careful. It's a woman, right? So Omar has to be there. The mother phones at 11:30 at night and says, where are you? Or over the phone, right? And I'm with this Bobsa. You're not with this. You're lying! I'm not joking! I said, sir, give me the phone. 11:30 a.m. And I go, yeah, I'm an ordained minister. 21 years. Christian mission life. Christian mission life? Is that right? I said, yeah, let me pray with you. She says, really? Yeah, I'll pray with you. I prayed with her. It's Honda right now. Really funny stuff goes on. So I just, okay, everything's back to normal again. But I'm telling you, there's power in the Holy Spirit. He gives you power. You don't have to manipulate. You don't have to control. You just trust the Spirit of God. And then you step right into his plan, right at the right time. Then all of a sudden, everything unlocks and unfolds because it's God reaching his mind. 40 years, God was in, and tears. 40 years I waited and I didn't go through the door. I didn't let him come through my door. Powerful, eh? And there's so many people out there right now that the harvest is plentiful. It is plentiful. And we are so distracted by our own problems.
thing, and I will take care of everything you need. I promise. If you'll do it my way, I'll do it your way.
And he said this, 9. He was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was gone, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside him. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? The same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven. This is the truth. Do I live in the light of the second coming?" This will spur, honestly, this will spur you on to meet with the Lord, because he's coming again. And we don't think about it, because your whole world is going to be changed. Not only the whole world, everything is going to be changed when he comes the second time. He will be the king. I can't wait. Read Psalm 72 and you'll see a king. That's a real king. That's a real leader. I want that leader. The second coming. That'll spur you on to meet with the Lord if you think of the second coming. Because you know what? Right now, what you're going through right now, it's nothing compared to how God's going to straighten everything out in the second coming. Everything is going to be straightened out. One more, Jesus. And I'll just say, this is as a warning. This is a warning from Christ for all of us, church. Be careful or your hearts will be weighed down and dissipated. I want to stop. Be careful. Be careful. Listen to these words of Jesus. Be careful or your hearts will be weighed down and dissipated and drunkenness. Forget about drunkenness. This is where it should really freak us all out. And the anxieties up, that should freak us out. Be careful. I don't even need the other dissipation as empty, you just look a fool. But this one, and the anxieties of life, and that day will close on you unexpectedly like a trap. You know, that really speaks to my heart, truthfully. Because you know what? Worry is so, God is trying to deal with this in my heart. Let go, moms. Let go. I'll take care of it. I'm in charge. I'm in charge of mom. And this could weigh my heart down. I could lose sight of the second coming. How many people believe that? Just lose sight of it. And live just like the flesh. Just live for nothing. Just live for today. Just live for your work. Just live for your family. And don't live for the second coming. Just anxiety. Oh, what's going to happen to my kids? What's going to happen to my... Where am I going to get the money? What is going to happen? Anybody with me on this? You think the devil's not involved in this. And don't even think about this. And then he goes, "For it will come upon all those who live on the face of the whole earth." Be always on the watch and pray. Be always on the watch and pray. That you may be able to escape all that is about to happen. And that you may be able to stand before the Son of Man. Is that a warning? I don't even understand what that means. Do you? I don't understand what that means. All I know is it's a warning. Don't let anxiety grip you. Don't let dissipation of your worries freak you out. You see why? Behold, I come like a thief. Could come right now. Christ could come right now. It's called imminency. Right now. I could be here preaching. Oh, that'd be great. Me preaching, and he's sitting right in front of me. I didn't. I'm preaching, Lord. But imagine being somewhere where you're not supposed to be. Oh. I don't even know what to say. All I know is that motivates me to spend a lot of time with the Lord so I can do what's right. It motivates me. So after he, "Behold, I come like a thief," what does he say? "Blessed is he who stays awake." He gives, you know, the funny thing about this, and I started thinking about this. Listen to this. This is funny. Nobody in this room or in any church or the most, whoever you think is a marvelous Christian, can stay awake on their own strength. Nobody. That's why I believe, I was thinking about this, that's why God put blessed in the front of it.
Because you need to be blessed by God for him to give you the strength to stay awake. Are you following me? So what we should be doing is, God, would you bless me so that I could stay awake instead of trying harder to stay awake? Because you can't. You know who a perfect example of this is? Try. Yes, perfect example. Now, what's the opposite of an awful example of this in the Bible? Oh, yeah, that's really awful. That's going too awful. But, the disciples. And more than that, catch what? Jesus kept coming back and said, could you not watch for 1 hour? And they were doing it in the flesh. So when you pray, tell me if everybody's with me. I've been struggling. That trying to get into God, just getting into God's presence, you need the Holy Spirit. You can't even get into his presence. Now I'm starting to really get it. I'm getting it. And God says, yeah, you got it, but after 50, what? But I'm getting it. The Holy Spirit, not only to stay in his presence, you need the Holy Spirit to get in his presence. And you need the Holy Spirit to stay awake in his presence. That's why he says, watch. Why does he not say just pray? Watch and, because watching is staying awake. And most of it, I'll fall asleep. I fell asleep last night. I'm serious. I was on my knees and I went and I fell asleep. I was tired, man. So I went to bed. But it was fitting for my sermon. God says, you need me. You need the Spirit of God to stay awake. This is not a guilty sermon. This is to tell you that you cannot stay awake unless the Spirit of God gives you the blessedness to have that strength to do it. You can't pray. You'll have no sustenance to pray. There will be no enjoyment. It'll all be duty. It'll all be duty. Prayer is never duty with God. Prayer is delight. But only the Spirit of God can do that. I can't. You can't. Only he can to stay awake. Only him. He's the only one. Trust me. But listen, this, I want to just get this right here. This is really the gospel. Prayer and everything, staying awake and all this stuff. This is why this doesn't work when you go, okay, this is what you're supposed to do, Stephanie. 1, 2, 3. Get up at 6:30 and read your Bible. It does not work. Those things don't work if you don't have the power of the Spirit, the blessed Spirit behind it, if you're not trusting it. So if you look at this, this is the gospel. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who's hung on a tree. He redeemed us in order that, here it is, that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit. And that blessing is tied to the Spirit. When you're blessed, the Spirit is there. That's why he put it, blessed is he who stays awake. You need that Spirit to do it. You can't stay awake. That's how desperate I am now with the Holy Spirit. I need this in order for me and you to carry on and pray where it's delight. That it's not a duty or something that I have to do or you're forcing me to. I want to do it because I love you. And the Spirit is giving me power to do it. Is everybody following this? This is a very important principle, that you receive the blessing of Almighty God, the Spirit of God, the fullness of God. And then you'll have an awesome devotion to him. Without that, it's just vanity, man. This is foolishness. There is a warning, too. Big, big warning. All warnings, blessings. Warnings, blessings. Jesus does it together and does it so nice, so beautiful. Warning. Blessed is he who stays awake. To the angel of the church, this is Revelation 3:1-3. To the angel of the church in Sardis write, these are the words of him who holds the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your deeds. You have a reputation of being alive, but you're dead. That's heavy. To have a reputation. I'm a Christian, man. I'm telling you, that's scary. To just lean on your reputation and not even have a character that God wants you to have. Is everybody with me? Reputation means nothing. I'm sitting here I know, God, one day, man, I just want to make sure I do what's right when no one's watching. That's character. I want to live like that. Like with the power of the Spirit, like that. I can't do that, but I want to live like that. This is heavy, man. Wake up. Jesus, wake up to a church. Wake up. Strengthen what remains and is about to die. For I have not found your deeds complete in the sight of my God. Remember, therefore, what you have received and heard. Obey it and repent. But if you do not wake up, I will come like a thief. You will not know at what time I'll come to you. Why? Is he trying to scare us? No, he's not. Be alert, guys. I'm coming. And the only way that any of us can stay awake or alert is by spending time meeting with the Lord daily. That's the only way. Miss that, you fall asleep. This idea is all through the scripture, and I don't know why I've missed it. It's all through the scripture. And it's not putting guilt on people or anything. It's just being very serious about our faith. Very serious. Even the Apostle Paul, look what he says. And do this, understanding the present time. Now, the hour has come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Notice how much armor and how much war and how much fighting is in the Bible. You notice that? It's like incredible. We're in a war like you wouldn't believe, all of us. It's amazing. Let us behave decently as in daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. Rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the sinful nature. Clothe yourself. You know what I really learned, everybody here? I put a guilt trip on some people, and I just apologize sometimes because, you know, I just get excited, eh? And then I have to back up. Oh, I shouldn't have done that. Do you know that the armor of God, you can put it on. You can helmet and breastplate and belt and shoes and everything. You can put it on, but all you have to do is put on Jesus. Clothe yourself with Christ. Just be filled with Christ. That's putting the armor on. He is the armor. Just put them on. Right away. Clothe yourself with Christ. But you do, you can put it on individually. But if you don't have time and you're going into a war, let's say, for instance, you're at the computer and all of a sudden something pops up, okay? And you go, holy crap. Lord, clothe me now. No, just wait. Okay, I'm going to put the armor on my feet and then put it here. And by the time you're right in. Anybody picking up what I'm saying? It's right away. Put Jesus on. Immediately. Right away. But this leads me into this. This ends it. This leads me into the clothing? This leads me into this. Keep our clothes with us. Keep them on, man. I don't mean these clothes. I mean, you know, the real clothes. You know what I mean? But I'm telling you, listen to this. I'm going to read this. Most of us know from this church that the clothes we keep with us is the righteousness of Christ. Would you say amen? Most of us in this church know that. Okay? I know that. But how do we keep our clothes with us? How do we keep the righteousness of Christ with us? It's very, very important. What does he say? What does God say? Behold, I come like a thief. Blessed is he who stays awake and keeps his clothes with him, so that he may not go naked and be shamefully exposed. I don't even know how to interpret that. There are verses in the Bible that I don't understand. I'm a pastor. I don't know what that means. Anybody can help me? Bible study. I'm not joking. There are some things in the scriptures that people better not get, I would say this word, cocky. Trust me. I don't understand it. Does that mean that? No, it can't mean that. I just don't know what this means. All I know is I can move to this area. What this really, what it means to me, for me personally, how do I keep the clothes on? And be found in him. Not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. I don't understand it, and when I don't understand something, I don't even try and interpret it. I don't even try and go near it. I wait for God to show me, because then I'll get it all confused with everybody. But I can understand this. This is how you keep your clothes on. Okay, now, say it. Okay, I'm going to repeat what you said, and if I say it wrong, and then I'm not just going to answer. We're all going to answer it. Got it? Here goes. What about when the devil does not allow you to put the armor on? Is that what you said? Okay, I think I know. Okay, and I think some people know what she's saying. So, this is, I would like you to answer her question, the church, more than me. I will, but I'd rather it to come from the church so you get more confidence. Did you hear what she said? How? Yeah, okay. So everybody heard it. So to help the sister, I can help you, but I want it to come from the church. And if you don't get your answer, then I'm going to help you. It is a good question. Go ahead. Go ahead, Brother Colin.
He's stealing
my sermon. I'm going to tell you truthfully. He hit it right on the head. But I need to just share this with you. The armor is where you... Do you have Jesus living in you? Yes. He's in there right now. Nobody can touch you. Nobody can come in to, and take control of you. Jesus is there. It's impossible now for you. You're completely safe. So what he's trying to get, as he's saying, is there's one piece of the armor that I'm trying to share, and I was going to do it. It's the breastplate of righteousness. And the breastplate of righteousness is, it goes with the breastplate of righteousness in place. I was going to share that. So when you know that you're righteous in Jesus, and you have that clothing on, where you're being probably targeted most of all, and all of us in this room, will be guilt. You'll be guilted. Okay? You will be guilted. And what you have to do is you have to, as he said, in place. It's got to be in place. You got to put your faith in this. This is what God gave to you. Here's the thing. How do you put it on? That's really your question. How do you put it on? And that's everyone's question. How do you put this stuff on? Because we're against a foe that will destroy us. So how do you put this stuff on? And the way you put this on, and everybody, probably a few people are just waiting to say it. I'm going to say it. Can I say it? Faith. You have to believe that the minute you say, I'm putting on this breastplate of righteousness because Christ gave it to me, it's his righteousness. What happens is your heart is protected. Devil cannot touch this armor. No way. This is divinely ordained by God for you and me. But do we believe it? Do you believe it? See, belief is how you overcome the devil. When you put the armor on, you try it. You try it, Nicole. You just try it the next time. You open Ephesians 6 and you try. Anybody in this room, you try it. And when you're being assaulted by the devil, you try this armor. You try and put it on. And you watch what happens, how fast the devil cannot penetrate or target you. He can't. It's an invisible war, but it is a war. And he will be defeated. Everybody following me? And you know, one of the things is, and I'm finished. I'm glad I'm finished. I'm not gonna go any further. I got my point across. This is what I wanted to say. Here it is. I want to show you this. Look at Paul. I fought the good fight. I finished the race. I've kept the faith. And this is how you put the armor on, the faith. And the minute that you operate by faith. Now look at this. I love this verse. This is what I do in the mall, when I'm in the mall. In his great power, God becomes like clothing to me. By faith, I let God rise up. Be my clothing. Be my armor. You should see how powerful it is. You try it, okay? You try it. Everybody in this room, try that. It is powerful when you do that. Now, listen to this. This is, and I'm finished. Richard Lovelace. It is an item of faith that we are children of God. It's an item of faith that we are children of God. It's not doubting. It's an item of faith. Even if everybody here today is faith that you're here today. It's faith. That's incredible that God brought you here. That we are children. There is plenty of experience in us against it. Huh? Plenty of experience against it. The faith that surmounts this evidence and that is able to warm itself at the fire of God's love, instead of having to steal love and self-acceptance from other sources. I want you to hear that. Instead of having to steal love and self-acceptance from other sources, it is actually the root of holiness. We are not saved by the love we exercise, but by the love we trust. Now, when Lovelace speaks of warming oneself at the fire of God's love, he is describing what it means to meditate on the righteousness we have in Christ through his sacrificial death. So how many of us actually, when we're alone with God, all alone, meeting with him, we're all over the map. But how many of us are disciplined to meditate on the righteousness of Christ through the death of Christ? When you do that, the devil has no sway in there. But how many of us really do it and are disciplined to do that? Meditate on the righteousness of Christ through the death of Jesus Christ. Actually meditate for 15, 20 minutes, maybe 30 minutes, and meditate on that. Do you know what would happen to you? You'd be invincible against the devil. I'd like to take a vote or something. How many people do that? This is a war. We meditate on the righteousness of Jesus. That's the only way you get to defeat the devil. No other way. For any of us. One of the hardest things to do for me is now with, and I know you're going to laugh at me, but with the drugs I take, my mind is not as sharp. Trying to memorize, very difficult now. But you know what? If I don't do it, I'm going to get cooked in the battle. I'm going to get fried. Because the devil would like to take me out at this age and destroy me. He'd love to. And I have to, with the church, hear my plea, meditate on the righteousness of Jesus Christ. On his words, you'll win. Meditate on anything else, you lose. Are you hearing me?